We're in Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk says, Vayiman Hashem Dag Gadol. Vayiman Pasuk Pshat is Hashem prepared. Vayiman means preparation, previously set aside. Livloyas Yaina. So there was a designated fish. A designated large fish that Hashem set aside to swallow Yaina. Yain is in the water, or in the middle of the ocean. So Vayiman Hashem Dag Gadol Livloyas Yaina, and the fish swallowed Yaina. Vayichi Yaina, and Yaina lived Bimei Adag in the belly of the fish. Shleisha Yamim Shleisha Leilas, 3 days and three nights. Vayichi. Oh, I'm sorry. Yonah was in the belly. So Rashi says, Vayiman Hashem Dag Gadol. And Dag is a male fish. A female fish would be, what would a female fish be?
Daga.
Right? It was a male fish. And it's a fact, the male fish have more room inside of them than female fish. Female fish, their bellies are filled with all kinds of things. I don't know, eggs, things, yeah. Some kinds of eggs in there. So male fish are more comfortable. I mean, if one has to be inside of a fish, so then it would be more comfortable to be in the belly of a male fish. Rashi. And Yaina was comfortable because there were no eggs inside of the fish. So he didn't daven. I'm reading from Rashi. He was living in the fish for 3 days and three nights. That's Rashi. This fish was set aside previously. It was designated. The Medrash. What?
The beginning of the world?
Yeah, the Medrash. In Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, brings a statement from Reb Tarfon that this fish was designated, was pre-designated, it was set aside for this purpose from Sheish Yishmei Breishis. A Kadosh Baruch Hu made this fish, and it was not the Levi Yosef.
Who says this?
This is in the Medrash called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and it's quoting Reb Tarfon. So Reb Tarfon said it. It's not the Leviathan. In a few psukim, you'll know why it's not the Leviathan. But it's not the Leviathan. It is a fish. It was created by Sheish Yishmei Breishis. And it was created for the purpose of swallowing Yaina when it goes into the ocean. That should arouse our curiosity. There's no need to make a fish in Sheish Yishmei Breishis for something that's not going to happen thousands of years later. There's no need to create a fish at all. I mean, let fish just grow naturally. One fish, Hashem will create two fishes in Sheish Yishmei Breishis. They give birth to fishes. Eventually, you're going to have a fish. There's plenty of fish. Plenty of fish at the time of Yaina to swallow him up. Why does he have to be swallowed up by an old fish? Why don't we swallow by a new fish? We'll get into that. Yeah. We mentioned before in the introductory shir that Yaina ben Amitai was the child that was brought back to life by Eliyahu Navi. The Medrash, tells us that, but that's not all. That's not the only thing the Medrash says. This is our Medrash. It's in the Yalkut Shimoni in Sefer Melachim Aleph. Perek Yud Zayin, Remez Reish Ches, if you'd like to look it up. Yaina, what? Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni is a collection of Midrashim. He said, this child that Eliyahu resuscitated and brought back from the death is Yonah ben Amittai, and he is Mashiach ben Yosef.
Who is Yonah?
Yonah, yes. Yonah was the baby that was brought back to life by Eliyahu Hanavi. He's Yonah ben Amittai, who was sent to Nineveh, and he's Mashiach ben Yosef. What does that mean? The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that there's two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. They have two jobs. They complement each other. Klal Yisrael and Golus, they're servants, we're in servitude. We're in bondage. And Mashiach ben Yosef will be our king. The monarchy will be restored. The king will be someone who's a descendant of Yosef. And he's going to restore the Jewish monarchy. He's going to gain our freedom from the Goyim and establish an independent kingdom. That's his job.
Not in India.
It didn't happen yet.
But he died.
Yep. Where does it say? It says he died?
No.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Where is he?
Is he waiting in Shemayim?
It's, you know, I don't think you have to ask that question of someone that keeps being brought back to life. Yena is an enigma. He died, he brought back to life. He died again. We're going to see. We'll go into, hopefully, at length, what he was experiencing in the belly of the fish. Yen doesn't die. He doesn't die. At least not in the final sense of the word. Yen goes through periods of states that resemble death, but he doesn't die. He's Mashiach ben Yosef. Then there's going to be a great war, a Muhammad. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. I know you're about to ask me if he doesn't die.
Final death?
Well, it's brought down in the Swan to deal with the Kavanas of Tefillah. And in the Bracha of Estamach David Avdech Amir Tatzmiach, it's brought down that you should have Kavana not just on Malchus based David, but you should have Kavana on Mashiach ben Yosef that you shouldn't die. You're from the Kadmainim. So if you're supposed to daven that Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't die, that means, and the Gemara says he does die. The Gemara derives it from Sukkim and Tanakh that foresee his Levaya. It's foretold in Tanakh that he's going to die and there's going to be a funeral. The many of the laws that govern the building of the Mechitza are learned out from the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says that they're going to, the attendees of the Levaya of Mashiach ben Yosef, the men are going to be separate from the women. So the Gemara makes a kavachemer. By a funeral, you need to have a mechitza between men and women, certainly in the Beis Knesses, at a time of the Simchas Beis Shavuiva, you know, when there's a lot of simcha. So that, you know, there's a great danger of the satan dancing around.
That's when we learned that you need
mechitza. So one of the sources is from the Levaya of Mashiach ben Yosef. And it's still, it says in the Kadmonim that you're supposed to daven that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't die. So again, you have the same thing, you know. You have the nigla, that he's going to die, and then you have the nister that you daven that he shouldn't die. So there's, you know, there's two levels here, nigla and nister. And these things are way beyond us. But the Medrash says, it's a Medrash, he's the Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed in war because the Gentile nations that surround Klal Yisrael, that's the one thing they can't tolerate, is an independent Jewish kingdom. It irks them. It gets their dander to rise up. I don't know what a dander is, but I know that it rises when people get irked. And then they all get together. This is the famous Armageddon, the Amagai Gamag. They all get together. And they're going to, you know, wipe this blood off the face of the earth. Mashiach ben Yosef dies in the war. Klai Yisrael appoints a new king to replace him, and he's a descendant of David HaMelech, and he destroys the army of the entire known world. Is Machzor Klai Yisrael the Tshuva for the Beis HaMikdash, and then following that is Tchiyas HaMeisim. So there's two kings. I mean, this is something which there's parallels. There's two kings. There's a king from the children of Rachel, and there's a king from the children of Leah. Mashiach ben Yosef is a descendant of Rachel, and Mashiach ben David is a descendant of Leah. And in the earliest days of Klal Yisrael's monarchy, the first king was Shaul HaMelech, and he was followed by his son Ish-Bosheth, who had a very short tenure as a Melech, but they're descendants of Rachel. And then they disappeared. You know, there was no more kings from Rachel's descendants, and the ones that came to replace them was Mashiach ben David, David HaMelech. It's the same thing. There was two kingdoms. They broke apart from each other. One kingdom was governed by the Melachim from Shevet Yehuda, descendants of Leah, and then the Aser HaShvatim was Reuven ben Nevat. He's a descendant of Rachel. So this is, you see that there's the dual kingdom is a phenomenon which has many parallels throughout Klal Yisrael's history. The children of Rachel and the children of Leah are meant to work with each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Reuven ben Nevat to break off from Rechavam, Melech Yehuda, but he wanted the two kingdoms to work in tandem, to complement each other. And Reuven ben Nevat didn't do that. And that is a catastrophe. We're suffering from that to this very day. It starts all the way back in Tevis Nayach. That when Nayach planted his grapevine, the first thing he planted was, when he came out of the Teva, was a grapevine. So Rashi brings a pasuk, Hoy lechem mimizrkei hayayin, if I'm not mistaken. It's a pasuk that describes the breaking away of the 10 tribes from the 2 tribes. And one of the catalysts of that was also wine. Wine contributed to the break-off of the 10 tribes. And Chazal quotes this Rashi, and Rashi quotes this Chazal, that the origins of this breaking apart, it found its origins in Noach's first action about coming out of the Teva. Let's see if I could find it. So Klal Yisrael was destined to be broken into two kingdoms, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, from the very origins of the world. Here we go. Yes. The pasuk says that Noach drank, and he was overcome with wine, and he was revealed in his tent. The word tent in the Lashon Kodesh is Ahaloi, Aleph Hei Lamed Vav. It's not spelled that way in the Chumash. The Chumash, the Vav at the end of the word Ahaloi is not there. Instead, there's a Hey. Aleph Hei Lamed Hey, when you switch around the Nekudas, is pronounced Ahalah. Those of you that remember this, the Kinnis that we say on Tisha B'Av knows that Ahalah is another name for the Aseres HaShvatim. Noach was revealed in the midst of Ahalah, that the shame of Noach was revealed through the 10 tribes. And they went into exile due to wine. Ashayshim b'mizrkei hayayin. Separation of the 10 tribes of Klal Yisrael was due to wine. And it finds its origins in the days of creation. Noach coming out of the Tevah is a Briah Chadash, it's the day of creation. So you see, we keep getting we're getting brought back to the origins of the world. Mashiach ben Yosef's fish, the fish that was destined to save Yona, was created in Shesh Shemei Breishis. The cause that caused the 10 tribes to get lost in the first place was post-Mabel, which is also days of Bereshis. Noach is renewing the world. So you see that the theme here is Bereshis. Mashiach ben Yosef, is the job which is upon him is not to be the one that brings about the ultimate geula. We saw that. His job is that Klal Yisrael should regain their identity as a kingdom. That's his job. And that's it. It stops there. That means that Klal Yisrael as a whole should come together. You know, Golus, there's many parts to Golus. One part of Golus is that you're outside of your land. That's one part of Golus. Another part of Golus is that you're not with each other. There's no unity. That's an internal Golus. It means you're not... Klal Yisrael is out of their land. That means they're Kutzmim Kaimai. They're out of their land. And then there's an internal Golus. That Klal Yisrael is lost. We're lost from each other. Klal Yisrael is one entity. Part of Golus is the Kapseni Yachad. Me'ar B'kanfus Aretz. Bring us to Eretz Yisrael, that's only part of Golus. The other part, Kibbutz Golus, is that we should gather ourselves in. We should be gathered to each other. And then once we're gathered to each other, as a group, we should be in Eretz Yisrael. Mashiach ben Yosef, that's his part of the redemption. He doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't defeat the Goyim. He doesn't extend God's rule over the whole world. He doesn't bring people back to the Tshuva. His job is Klal Yisrael should come together as one. We saw that Yaina was one of the few individuals that went to be Eilu Regal. He was there by the Simchas Beis Shoeva. We talked about that in the introduction. Yaina got his Nevuah. I mean, it's not a far stretch to say that Yaina got his Nevuah by an act which was joining Aseret HaShvatim with the Shevet of Yehuda and Binyamin. He didn't stay. You know, Yeravim ben Nevat endeavored to create two separate kingdoms, and he made a separate house of worship, and that the Aseret HaShvatim should not go to the Beis HaMikdash. And Yaina ben Amitai, he managed to, you know, sneak himself into the Beis HaMikdash, participate in the Simchas Beis Shoeva, and that's a union of a member of the Aseret HaShvatim and the other two Shvatim. He's Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, what?
Sorry, his previous nevuos that he did for Aseret HaShvatim, that was...
was to get rid of the wicked melachim of Aseret HaShvatim and replace them with righteous ones.
But that was before the Ninveh or after?
Before.
That was before now.
That's also along with this theme. You know, the Achav is a descendant of Yeravim ben Nevat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that Yeravim ben Nevat's reign is over. And you need to replace the Malchus. So Yaina was the Navi who was sent to put a proper Malchus on the Aseret HaShvatim. So these are all part of the same picture. To restore Malchus to Klal Yisrael. And the definition of Malchus is all of Klal Yisrael together. And Klal Yisrael apart, you know, if the heart is separated from the kidneys, then the person dies. And Klal Yisrael is dead, because when you break them apart, the two parts, and neither side is alive. So Yaina's job is to do Tchiyas Sameishim to Klal Yisrael. Once Klal Yisrael comes back alive, so then you build the Beis HaMikdash, then you do Tshuva, but first you got to come back as a person. People that are in pieces, you know, some of them in pieces, they can't do Tshuva, there's no point in having a Beis HaMikdash. You can't rule over other nations. So Mashiach ben Yosef restores the person called Klal Yisrael and all the parts together, and then his job is over. Then Mashiach ben David takes that person and restores the person back to his original glory by getting them to do tshuva. And once that person is back on the madriga that they were on before, so now you can have a Beis HaMikdash. And once you have a Beis HaMikdash, now you can live forever. It's amazing. So whether Yaina b'chvayda b'atzmer is Mashiach ben Yosef, or whether Yaina had in the spark of Mashiach ben Yosef, or he occupied the role of Mashiach ben Yosef of that generation, and Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come from him, I mean, that's the pashup shot in the Medrash. He was the Mashiach ben Yosef of that generation. He did Mashiach ben Yosef's job. He was the Mashiach ben Yosef of that generation, and he carried the Mashiach ben Yosef football of that generation. And then it goes on, but it comes from Yaina. He is the father, you know, the Av. Just like David HaMelech was called the father of Mashiach. So Yaina is the repository of Mashiach ben Yosef.
He is that.
That's what he is, inherently.
Science generation.
So now you can understand why the fish that saved them had to be created in Shesh Shemei Breishis. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a world, you know, when you make an invention, when you make a program or anything like that, and at the time you foresee that this thing could break down, you have two mahalchim, two paths to follow. You could say, well, I'll make it now. When it breaks down, I'll make a patch to fix it. Or you could preempt it. Because creation means you create something with the ability for it to endure. You want it to endure. Otherwise, that's not called having created it. You create something that can't last. That's not called creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he creates something, Hashem creates it forever. So even though there's a flaw, and there's an inbuilt flaw, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that flaw in. Because people have to have the right to choose. And they have to have they have to be able to make mistakes. But there has to be a backup plan, that when they make the mistake, there's something there, and that has to be there from the beginning of creation. And Yen is very much a part of that plan. So the fish was there from Shesh Shemei Breishis. There's a sefer called Megala Amukos, or as Chassidim pronounce it, the Megala Mikis. Mem Gimel Lamed Hey. Amukos, Ayin Mem Vav, Kuf Vav Saf. In Shir HaMalos, we see a pasuk, Bay Yava Barina, Naisi Alu Maisav. Bay Yava Barina, you come with joyousness, Naisi Alu Maisav, and you're gonna carry bundles and bundles of blessing. That's referring to the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the world, the ultimate time, the time of Skar. Bay Yava Barina, there's gonna come a time we're gonna be overjoyed. Naisi Alu Maisav, we're gonna receive the bounty that we worked for, and we, you know. All these centuries, millenniums. But Yava Barina Naisa Lu Maisav. The Megala Amukos says that the word Yava, Yud Vez Aleph, Yavo, is Rosh Tevis, it's an acronym of Yena Ben Amitai. But Yava, when Yava comes, Yena Ben Amitai, Naisa Lu Maisav. That's the Yava Barina. So that's a partial glimmer, a partial understanding of why the fish had to be created in Shesh Shemei Breishis. Yud Vez Aleph, Bo Yavo Barina. Bo is Vez Aleph, Barina, Vez Resh Nun Hey, Bo Yavo Barina. How did Yenna survive? How did Yenna survive in the belly of the fish? So the Malbim, he was alive. At this point, he was alive. The first fish, he was alive. The Malbim said it was a miraculous phenomenon. It was a nace. And he compared the Malbim, and he compares it to the nes of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were three members of the court of Nebuchadnezzar. When commanded to bow down to his idol, they alone refused. Those three refused. And Nebuchadnezzar threw them into a furnace. A furnace could be compared to the belly of a fish. Neither a furnace or the belly of a fish has what's necessary to sustain life. For different reasons, but they both are places that anything one needs to live is not there.
The fire burns, destroys.
But even if the fire, you can't, there's no air, you can't breathe. So let's say the fire wouldn't burn them, they still can't breathe. There's more, the burning, the, you know, It's not enough for Kadosh Baruch Hu. The point of the Ma'am is it's not enough for Kadosh Baruch Hu just to protect Hananya, Mishael, Azariah from the fire. That's not, they can't breathe. They can't eat. They can't drink. They can't see. They're nothing. Like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if your Kadosh Baruch Hu would make for them some kind of fire retardant or an asbestos suit, that wouldn't save them. It would still die. The Ma'am says that that's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu did. That wasn't the nace. I mean, I've always been under the impression, until I saw this, that's what Hashem did. Hashem made a nace, the fire didn't burn them. That's not enough. It's insufficient. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed their very nature. He changed their nature. They underwent a metamorphosis. That for them, their environment, the thing that they feed off, the thing that they live from, is fire. I mean, that's a pshat.
Then it means that they had to change again, because when they walked out of
the... Yeah, then they changed them back. He made them depend. They didn't just survive in the fire. They thrived in the fire. They thrived from the fire. Kadosh Baruch Hu changed the nature of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Then instead of fire, fire being being an enemy, being an opponent, being misnagged. But they were on the same terms as the fire. The fire is their environment. That's the best place. That was the ideal place for them to be. And the mom says the same thing happened to Yaina. A miracle that Yaina lived in the belly of the fish. There's a mahalak to the miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned him into an embryonic fish. That's what the mom says. He gave Yaina the nature of an embryo of a fish. Or a fish egg, or whatever. What thrives in the belly of a fish? An egg.
Yeah, but not a male fish.
But Hashem did it. Hashem did it.
So he got nutrients from the
fish. He lived from the fish.
And he was conscious this whole time, just awake?
He was totally conscious. He was in complete control of his faculties.
I would have freaked out at that
point. Wait a couple of seconds. And we'll see what he was doing.
Is he mom like so, or is he like a fetus? And
that question I don't have access to answering that question. I guess he had to have been there. But the mom doesn't say that he looked like a fish egg. The mom says that he changed his nature.
Yeah, but that means he would have had to have been attached to the fish.
Well, there had to be some transfer, right? He gave him the nature of a baby that lives off the belly of the mother.
That's the mom says?
Yes. That means that he didn't have to breathe, he didn't have to eat, and he didn't go to the bathroom. For 3 days and three nights. No breathing, no eating, and no elimination of waste. The pasuk says Livloya. He was swallowed up whole. Big fish don't generally do that. Big fish generally chop up what they eat. But Yaina was swallowed up whole, and he existed in the belly of the fish. The mom explains why. Why did Yaina have to survive in this form? Because there was a gzar din on Yaina that he should die. It was kind of misa, and he had to be reborn. That means he didn't live as a human being. That's called dying. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a human being, puts him in the belly of a fish, and gives him the nature of an embryo, that's tantamount to dying.
So when he comes out, he's a fish.
What's happening with being swallowed whole, though?
That's just a practical manner. He wasn't in pieces. Being in pieces in the belly of a fish is... I mean, that's not fun. No. So this is a Tchiyas Samesim. This is Tchiyas Samesim number 2. The first one was when he was a baby. And this is Tchiyas Samesim.
He was dead.
Death, by a certain definition, he was dead because he wasn't a human being. When you take a human being and you make him into something else, that means that as a human being, he's dead.
can, if you're crying Misa, then doesn't coming back to life kind of cancel out the punishment?
If it's accompanied by tshuva, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeren didn't come back. I don't know. He's not getting out of the fish so fast.
Well, he was spit out. Did he come back alive?
There's another fish. We have to go to the next pasuk to see. See, stay tuned. There's another pasuk following this pasuk. This fish number one. The Abba Benal is the one that says that Yosef was in complete control of his faculties. Yena was in complete control of his faculties.
What does that mean?
That means his mind was clear.
You mean the mom doesn't agree with that?
The mom doesn't address it. It's possible for the two pshatim to coexist. You could have the nature of an embryo and still be conscious. It's possible. When Chazal certainly bear it out. Now that's according to the viewpoint that he was Chayiv Misa. What if he wasn't Chayiv Misa? So why did this have to happen to him? If he was Chayiv Misa, so this is the fulfillment of the Zadin of Misa.
Built character.
Well, I guess it just basically shows him there's no running away. I mean, God wants you to do something, it's going to happen, whether you want it to or not.
Yeah, so that's true. What you're saying is true. What you're saying is true. The Yalkut Me'am Lois explains that Hashem did this despite the fact that he holds that Yena was not Chayiv Misa. Hashem still did it to Yena because Hashem wanted to make a public demonstration that it's never too late to do tshuva. No matter how far gone you've gone, you could be restored back to your former position in life by doing tshuva. And this nes was publicized. This was a public nes. This was known throughout the world. That even though Yena wasn't Chayiv Misa, but he was guilty of running away from Hashem. And that's pretty grave.
Who says this?
The Yalkut Me'am Lois. That's a grave crime. It doesn't incur the punishment of death, but it's a grave crime. And one might think that someone that commits this atrocity of running away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no way back. You can't go back. So Kadosh Baruch Hu saved him in a spectacular manner to show that it's never too late to do tshuva.
So then it's not
you
so
could
hard.
Even come back from the belly of a fish.
So it's not so hard to believe that Ninveh would do tshuva after they heard about it.
Ninveh did because of this.
Yes.
It's not so hard. This is a...
How did everyone know
about
it?
Yeah, I really got spat in his face at the end.
The Chazal said that the sailors saw this.
And other people saw it also? Or just
well, the sailors, they had credibility.
Well, they saw it get eaten.
No, they saw the whole process. They saw everything.
Well, I was just chilling next to them.
Well,
if that's the way it had to
anywhere.
Happen, then it happened that way. There's no shortage of ways how to imagine that they saw it. What?
There was a storm, they couldn't go anywhere. I mean, the pasuk says it stopped, but you know. Whatever.
It stopped, but they saw it. The Sefer Al-Sheikh, Aleph Lamed Shin Yud Chaf. So he says that being swallowed up by the fish was a punishment of Mida Keneged Mida. Hashem always punishes Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. Because Yena wanted to escape. He wanted to break away from his confines. You know, he was confined. So he wanted to throw off the shackles and he wanted to escape. So Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem confined him. And this is the Al-Sheikh, Rav Moshe Al-Sheikh. There's no greater confinement than being in the belly of a fish. I mean, just... because you know it's even more restrictive than Alcatraz. In the bottom of the ocean, you're in a container in the bottom of the ocean.
And he was dead.
And he got dead. Yeah, he got dead. Oh, just for information, the Yalkut Me'am Lois tells us that the name of the fish, the type of fish it was a Cheeto. Tzadik Yud Tes Vav, a Tzito fish.
Is that any fish
that
we know of today?
I don't know. A Tzito. Or he says, alternatively, it's known as a Blina.
A what?
Blina. Beis Lamed Yud Yud Luna.
I'll keep it as a Cheeto.
Cheeto or a Blina?
Cheeto.
Now, what was Yanni doing there? What?
Big blue
whale. Beluga. Blina, beluga, yeah, okay. It has a Beis and a Lamed in it. Could be.
This is the biggest one.
A beluga whale. What was he doing in there? The Yalkut Me'am Lois said he was doing nothing. Hashem. What did Hashem want him to do in there? Right. Hashem wanted him to do tshuva. Hashem wanted him to daven. Hashem wanted him to reach out to him.
Who says this?
The Yalkut Me'am Lois. And he didn't.
Did he learn at least? Was he like doing that? Or was, like, what was he occupying the time with?
I don't know. Why didn't he daven? The Yalkut Me'am Lois lists a number of reasons. He said, number one, he couldn't face Hashem. It's embarrassing. He couldn't face Hashem. Number two, being in the belly of the whale, he felt that that was Hashem's way of excommunicating him, being put in chayrim. And the halachas of chayrim, if someone's put in chayrim, then he's excommunicado. People aren't permitted to communicate with him. So he's in chayrim. So number one, he's embarrassed. Number two, he's in chayrim. And number three, he felt he got what he deserved. And he didn't want to daven that it should stop. From the Yalkut Me'am Lois, it sounds like it was painful. It was Yisurim. It wasn't like so comfortable. And he wanted to be a Makabel Yisurim. He accepted the Yisurim on himself. Kadosh Baruch Hu did it, he accepted it, and he's not going to daven that it should end. It's a good thing. I'm sorry. Pasuk Beis, Vayispalo Yonah LaShem. After 3 days and three nights, Yonah did daven to Hashem. Elokav, his God. I think it's Pashtut. The reason why it says Hashem Elokav here is because Yonah realized that he's not a Cherem. Hashem does want to talk to him. It's his God. It's possessive. It's just Pashtut Pshat. Hashem Elokav, Hashem his God. The first 3 days and three nights, Hashem cut him off. He has no relationship. Hashem doesn't want to hear from him. But after 3 days, something happened that caused him to
hear. So possible that he's still alive?
Hashem
shouldn't be alive after that long.
Well, if he has the nature of the embryo of a fish, he could be alive.
How long did he have the nature?
I don't know. Does it make a difference?
He still had the nature of a fish. Means Hashem did an ace for him.
Hashem did an ace for him.
He's,
for the first 3 days, he thought that he's being put in prison. He's being put in chayrim. I mean, this is a harsh chayrim. And when you're in chayrim, you wait out your sentence and you wait for Kadosh Baruch Hu to end it. You don't ask Hashem to let you out early. That's like. The guy does something really bad in the yeshiva, you tell him that he has to, he's confined to the, to the dormitory for a month. And you hope that by imposing that sentence on him, he's going to recognize the gravity of what he did wrong. And he'll do have harata, and he won't do it again. The guy comes and saying, why should I be locked up for a month? I didn't do anything wrong. You tell him, you know what, you have to leave the yeshiva. What are you doing? I said, if you can't figure out what you did wrong, you feel that you don't deserve it, that means that putting you, locking up for a month is not going to teach you a lesson. Then you're going to do it again. We can't have you here. Well, this is typical. You know, when Rashi Shiva imposed punishments on their students, what they're looking for is they want to see a show of remorse. If they don't see remorse, then they can't deal with this. You have to see remorse. And they ask a guy, "Were you sorry you did it?" "Yeah, I'm sorry." "Yeah, you're sorry you got caught." Right? Yeah, Rabbi, yeah, I'm sorry I got caught. You're looking for some kind of remorse. You usually don't get it. Yeah. But at least some outward display of it, you know, some decency. And the guy says, 4 weeks, I shouldn't get punished at all. So then it shows that he doesn't feel he did anything wrong. Yaina was not guilty of that. He didn't have that shortcoming. He's in the belly of the fish. He's there for 3 days, 3 nights. He did not think of Iskan Kodesh Baruch Hu to let him out. When Hashem wants to let me out, he'll let me out. If and when. But then after 3 days, something happened that caused a shift in attitude. And what was that thing? So Chazal tell us that the key to unlocking the secret is in the Pasuk. It says that he was thrown out of the stomach of the Dagah. The Dagah is female. So what just happened? He was in a male fish, and he called out to Hashem from a female fish. Now, how did that happen? Did it just change? I mean, Hashem doesn't work that way. You know that. It's female. So Chazal say that Hashem saw that Yaina wasn't davening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that could be for a number of reasons. The male fish was very comfortable. The male fish had more room. He wasn't davening. Yaina wasn't considering doing tshuva because they'll do tshuva. They'll have to go to Nineveh. You go to Nineveh, they'll do tshuva. They'll do tshuva. Klal Yisrael won't do tshuva. Klal Yisrael will get destroyed. So you didn't think, what's the point in doing tshuva? When you do tshuva, tshuva is not just saying you're sorry. Tshuva means you have to rectify what you did wrong. So he wasn't doing that. He wasn't doubting to get out because he felt he deserved to be there. So Hashem changed, he changed his environment. And the male fish spit him out. And he's in the ocean. That's death number two. Actually, it's death number three. He was in the ocean. Then he was in the male fish. And now he's in the ocean again.
The ocean isn't death.
Someone that's spit out by a fish at the depths of the ocean will not live. Something has to happen in order for him to live. But the matziv, the place where he finds himself, is death. It'll take a minute, 2 minutes. I mean, there's other factors besides the lack of oxygen. Also, there's the crushing pressure of being there. You can't survive at the bottom of an ocean. We'll see. He was in the Tahan. We're going to need... What?
In between Aleph and...
I don't know.
In between Aleph and Beis, he got spit out?
Yes. In between Psukim.
For how long?
I don't know.
Like how long in one?
I don't know. But that's death number three.
Who says this?
So he's just like lying in the water. He's pretty
dead. Who says this? Rashi brings it down from Medrash. It's in Rashi. So he's in the female.
Floating upwards, he's dead. He's
that's not really fair either. He wasn't kind of.
No, when I say the word death, I mean he's in a place that anything a person needs for life is not there. Okay. So that's the definition of death for our purposes now. Take a fish out of water, and it flops around.
Well,
by some, not by one definition, it's alive until it dies. The other definition is it's dead. Because there's nothing infusing it with life. It's living off the life that it got from the moment it was in the water. The water gives it life. You took it out, so any life that's in the fish is from the life that it retained some life from when it was formerly in the water. But there's no new infusion of life. So that's death, because you separated it from life. It's the difference between something that's plugged into the wall or a battery operated thing. Battery, that's dead. Because the source of life is limited, self-contained, you know, the battery's going to die. You know? The Everetta bunny never runs out. It's dead. It just it has some life retained inside of it, but it's going to die. Or you have plugged into the wall. There's a constant refresh. You know, the source of electricity is constantly being refreshed. Please don't ask questions on the Marshall. You can punch a lot of holes in them, just because plugging into the wall is also limited. But compared to a battery, it's not. There's a constant infusion of new electricity. So when you spit out into the water, that's death. That's a form of death.
What were the three deaths again?
They threw him in the water, you swallowed by the fish, and the fish spat him out into the water.
Then how about getting swallowed again?
That's going to be number four.
But he's already in the...
The second fish is death number four.
So he already died four times.
Dead already.
Yes, and then he died when he was a kid. That's five.
Yeah, but he was already dead in the water. Swallowing the fish doesn't kill him again.
Both times.
It's another level. Form of being away from your source of life.
It's not
right. Yeah, no, there was no tears. He didn't pop up to the top and come down.
No, like,
it's another form of being away.
Take him away from anything.
Right. It's another. Being in the belly of the fish in some ways was better than being in the water. In other ways, it was worse. It's different. It's a different form of death. And since it's a different form of death, it counts as another death. The Alchemy Amleis says that Hashem's purpose in having him swallowed up by the female fish is because Hashem has a taiva for the tefillah of tzaddikim. Hashem wants tzaddikim to reach out to him, especially tzaddikim, especially a tzaddik like Yonah. Hashem wants to hear his tefillah, and Yonah wasn't davening to Hashem because he thought Hashem didn't want to hear from him. When Yonah was swallowed up by the female fish, so then he had to think. And that he reflected upon this new set of circumstances. If Hashem just wanted to put me in Cheirim, if Hashem didn't want to hear from me, if Hashem wanted me out of sight and out of mind, so he would have left me in the male fish. He would have left me in the belly of the male fish. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu making it, if Hashem wants to hurt me, he would have put me into the female fish initially. You got a lumbus? So why did Hashem first put me into a more comfortable fish and then cause me to be swallowed by a less comfortable fish? It must be that there's something Hashem wants for me to do that I'm not doing. So Hashem does want me to daven.
But he knew Hashem wants him to do something that he wasn't doing.
Right. Now if Hashem wanted him to die, so Hashem wouldn't have metamorphosized him. So Hashem doesn't want him to die. The second fish changed everything. You can't daven to Hashem without doing two. Right. He knows that he's going to pray to Hashem to let him out. Part of the prayer.
But why? Is he didn't come to that realization.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is.
Realization that Klal Yisrael is going to be okay.
Meaning Hashem is not letting him do this. And he's not dying. He would rather die, but he's. You know, if he can't kill himself by being in the ocean three times and being swallowed up by two fish, that means Hashem's not letting him die.
And he realizes that he has no choice but to do it.
He's, there's more to the lesson. The lesson is not over. But this was. It's a multi-stage lesson plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned out for Yonah. Hashem wants him to go willingly. Hashem wants him to go because Yonah sees that's the best thing that he could possibly do. He has to be educated. And this is a part of it.
As of now, I don't see where he saw it.
He just sees a brick wall in front of him. He sees that Hashem...
He has no other way.
Yeah, Hashem is not punishing him and angry at him for not going, and he wants to off him, you know, like, knock him. He sees that Hashem still wants him around. He sees that Hashem still wants him to do it. He sees the return of Hashem as it's not too late for him. And these things were all revelations for him. Because he thought, when they threw him over the side, what was going through his mind was, he's going to die. When the fish swallowed him up, what he thought was, he's going to die. When the fish spat him out...
He would have gotten used to the, okay, I'm not going to die. It took him this long.
He understood this. Hashem doesn't want to kill him. And Hashem doesn't want to ignore him. So there's only three possibilities. There's only one left. Hashem wants him. It's interesting. The Yaakov Man Lays adds an interesting note here. Hashem wanted Yerni to daven to him. You know, the Gemara says Hashem allows people to destroy themselves. The Gemara in Makkos. B'derek she'adam reitza leilech ba merlicha naisei. The path that a person chooses to trod upon, or tread upon, was it tread or trod? I think it's tread. The path a person chooses to walk upon, because Baruch allows him.
Where's the Gemara?
Makkos. Kadosh Baruch allows him to follow that path. He doesn't place obstacles in his way. Yerna wants to destroy himself, and Hashem doesn't want Yerna to destroy himself. Hashem is ke'ilu taking away his bechira. He's not giving him much of a choice, which is a yetzer min haklal. Usually Hashem doesn't do it. If people nachmanos on a person makes a decision to kill himself, we know that on occasion they're successful. Hashem allows them to do it. Hashem doesn't want them to do it. It's a crime. It's a very severe crime. It could be the most severe crime, but Hashem allows it because it gives the person the ability to destroy himself. And here Hashem didn't allow Yehuda to do that. So he said one reason is Hashem has a taiva. He wants a relationship with tzaddikim.
But Hashem doesn't have taiva.
He wants. Hashem has wants. Yeah, Hashem doesn't have needs. Hashem has wants. And the other explanation he gives is that Yehuda deserved it. This is beautiful. So, because Hashem, even though Yehuda was rebelling against Hashem, insubordination, it's called. But he was motivated by Avos Yisrael. Yehuda's motivation was energizing him, was Avos Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has to be in this world. You can't have a world without Klal Yisrael. He has to save Klal Yisrael. It's either me, you know, Yehuda says, if Yehuda is alive, and Yehuda is functioning, and Yehuda goes to Nineveh, that means that Klal Yisrael's lives, and well, you know, the well-being, the security, and their lives are at stake. And that was the motivating factor, and that's a good thing. The Yaakov Man Lays says, as a reward for the motivation that Yehuda had for rebelling against Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in a circumstance, in circumstances that he had no choice but to have a relationship with Hashem, reach out to him, pray, open up his mouth in prayer, and be saved.
What was the first reason?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a general reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with tzaddikim, and their tefillahs are very special to him. Hashem wants them. And if the tzaddik is not davening for some reason, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide a reason. Because I'll say this by Yitzchak. Yitzchak had to wait 20 years until he had children. The pasuk says, "Vayeta Yitzchak el Hashem alishtei ki akarahi." Yitzchak davened to Hashem because his wife was barren. So there are those that read the pasuk a little different. But yet to Yitzchak Hashem, Yitzchak daven to Hashem, ki akarahi. That's why Hashem made her into an akara. Ki akarahi is explaining why Yitzchak daven to Hashem. Hashem made her into an akara because he wanted Yitzchak to daven. Hashem wanted 20 years of Yitzchak's tefillahs. Hashem wanted that relationship. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that Yehuda deserved it. Even though he was motivated to run away from Hashem's prophecy, but the reason for doing so was a praiseworthy one, and he deserves to be shown the light. And it's much a beautiful, beautiful pshat. Okay, so I guess we'll stop over here.